Today we'll take a special look at a portion of our denomination's social principles, specifically the political community. The words that we find in Paul's letter to the Roman Church at chapter 12, reading from verses 9 through 21, will in fact guide our message for today. And so our scripture is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, and Sister Abuena King will be reading the word this morning.
Love in action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it is, as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The love that you got. Words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. So as we consider our text for this morning, let's pause for a moment to consider the question or the statement, can we all just get along? Can we all just get along? Love, peace, and harmony are ideals that we all approve of. We may even aspire to them from time to time. And the image of all three happening at once and at the same time seems to receive a firm and resounding affirmation from almost everybody. And it seems to get worldwide approval. I don't know anybody that doesn't want love and peace and harmony. The ideals seem to become attainable until people become involved. And as soon as people become involved and more than one idea is introduced, popular or unpopular, people begin to take sides. And once people have chosen sides, love, peace, and harmony go out the window. In fact, wars have been waged and battles fought for no other reason than people just couldn't find a way to get along with one another. And today in our nation, and perhaps in other nations as well, but particularly in our nation, the lines have been drawn around issues of immigration. People are taking positions all over the map. The question we must ask ourselves is, what does our God require of us? What does our God require of us? The subject of our text asks a vital question of us. And the answer to the question should be a resounding yes. Can we all get along? Yes! But we, and by we I mean those of us who call ourselves Christians, we should have getting along with one another as central to who we are as Christians and primary to our spiritual DNA. And yet we find that we too are guilty of allowing our opinions to enter into and sway the conversation, primarily informed by what we think is right, as opposed to engaging in conversations based on what God is asking us to do. Paul's letter to the Romans focuses on the Christian principle that our love as Christians should not be hypocritical. He says, your love should be sincere. And his position is presented in the form of a list of requisite conduct that shows sincere Christian love. First, Paul details how our attitude as Christians should be as we choose to cling to what is good and hate that evil that surrounds us. Second, he outlines how we, as children of God and followers of Jesus Christ, are to experience our spiritual relationship with Christ by displaying a sincere relationship with Christ and a sincere devotion of love to one another, honoring one another above ourselves. Additionally, he demands that we should never lack our passion to serve the Lord when we can. And third, Paul indicates the new expectations of Christian character by remaining joyful in hope, patient in our suffering, and faithful in our prayers. That we should share with the Lord's people who are in need and show hospitality to everyone. This becomes more challenging in a world that is becoming more and more hostile to Christian values. In fact, some people have openly stated that Jesus is too woke for them. Paul then stresses how we should respond to all people with a true Christian spirit, showing empathy for all people, rejoicing with those who rejoice, mourning with those who mourn, living in harmony with one another as believers, and avoiding arrogance and conceit while showing humility and compassion by associating with those of low position. The words Paul offers us when he speaks almost quote verbatim from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He suggests that we shouldn't let evil get the best of us by seeking revenge, but doing what is right in the eyes of everyone. There is a qualifier, though, that points to our human nature. And that is, we are to live at peace with everyone, so far as it depends on us. Because we all know that some people are hostile by nature. It points to how we are to live in relationship to everyone, our friends, our enemies, other believers, and even strangers who dwell among us, with our only response being that of genuine agape love. But Paul's words also provide us an opportunity to compare the position of the United Methodist Church to the Word of God found in Romans. It invites us to compare the rights of immigrants as stated in the social principles of the United Methodist Church and compare those principles of our church to God's Word to see if those principles have any biblical integrity. Our social principles state, and I'm going to ask you to read these aloud, about migrants and immigrants and refugees. We affirm the dignity, worth, and rights of migrants, immigrants, refugees, and displaced or stateless people, recognizing the growing global displacement crisis caused by war, famine, climate change, failed protections, and other forces. We urge United Methodists to welcome congregations and provide concrete, practical support with immigration processes, food, housing, education, employment, and other needs. And we oppose all laws and policies that separate families, criminalize, dehumanize, and detain in inhumane conditions displaced persons and for-profit detention centers for those purposes. That's what our social principles say. Our scripture today and our church's position on immigration addresses one of the hot button issues of our day. And yet it requires us to look at it through the lens of Christ's unconditional love and our response as Christians to the evil that surrounds us. And I don't know whether we're still keeping up with the issues, but even Stevie Wonder can see that the apparent source of the current issues surrounding immigration and the treatment of those considered immigrants in our land is wrong. It's evil. Of course, if you speak with the indigenous people now living on reservations, they will say that we're all immigrants. Arizona passed a law several years ago that was reviewed by our nation's Justice Department, and the Supreme Court ruled on the legality of Arizona's law and allowed it to stand. Tempers are flaring along divisive and polarizing lines on issues of immigrant rights and status in our community and country as ISIS sought to deport asylum seekers from Haiti and Somalia and Mexico and South Korea and other nations where people of color live. On the other hand, white South Africans and Ukrainians have been allowed to enter without vetting of any kind. The problem is further complicated by challenges to the 14th Amendment, which affords any child born in this country the privilege of citizenship. The privilege of citizenship. And those children that are American citizens by birth are now having their citizenship status challenged by the current administration. And while their parent status in the country may be uncertain, the children are by law and by birthright citizens of the United States of America and have every legal right to be here. There are issues around language, employment, healthcare, education, crime, and economics, and the ongoing issues of the inhumane treatment of people being held in ICE detention centers, created primarily for profit by those who build them. I'm not sure that when God's word was revealed to the saints of old, that the hot button issues of our day, whether people were documented or undocumented, green cards, work visas, states' rights versus federal law, naturalized citizenship, or any other issue facing immigrants and us today were even thought of. But what I am certain of is that we should be open to have the conversation in as much as God invites us to be in a loving and caring relationship with all people. And I'm also sure that God desires that we enter into those conversations, not by virtue of our own biases and prejudice, and certainly they will play a part, but that we enter into those conversations with our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our spirits being directed by the Holy Spirit. And within that conversation, The issues of love that are supposed to characterize who we are as children of God and citizens of God's kingdom come to light. I'm certain that our decisions should be formed, thought out, and arrived at because God has been a present and prayerful part of the conversations and decisions that are being made. And if God informs our decisions, then those decisions will be made with the spiritual integrity that God requires, and those decisions will honor God. You see, brothers and sisters, God would have us to know that our love, the love that God has placed within us, should be real. And I know that sometimes our love for strangers can be disconnected by our frustrations with them. We're so easily thrown off by the intrusion of strangers into our lives who don't know us or our customs. We don't like it when things we've grown accustomed to become disrupted by change, nor do we like it when we're inconvenienced by little things that didn't bother us before. I can remember how odd it was the first time I heard a recorded voice message with instructions on the other end of the phone when I dialed a business number. It was horrible that I had to wait for an electronic operator to go through a series and a litany of instructions before I could speak to the person that I really wanted to speak to. And I was not alone. I know there were others who experienced those electronic operators as a nuisance to be done away with. Even now, and even with AI, the voice of a recorded message offering help but not understanding what it is we want is annoying. All we want is to speak to somebody real on the other end of the phone. And then suddenly, without any forewarning, they added this little clip of Spanish before the conversation began. And I have to admit that I was a little bit disturbed, and I knew because I had spoken to some other people who were also annoyed that I had allies. We form allies with those who find themselves inconvenienced as we are in the same way that we are about the same things. In some ways, they become like family. It's kind of like an old poem by Rudyard Kipling. Rudyard Kipling was a poet who said, sister, auntie, father, mother, and me, all the people like us are we, and everyone else is they. And when they disrupt our lives, and when they interfere with our comfort level, and when they become demonized as the enemy, that's when the love of God that we're supposed to exhibit stands the greatest chance of resembling hypocrisy, an act that we put on for show. It's when lines are drawn and the people on either side of the line become they that our hypocrisy shows. That's when the circle of love begins to tighten around us, and without much effort, love that was once real becomes love that is filled with fear and resentment. That's when love becomes phony, and the image of the Christ, the Savior who loved us all unconditionally, becomes dishonored. And I don't know that makes a difference, and I don't know what makes love real to anyone but me. But I know that keeping love real, making our love sincere, is the best way to honor God, regardless of who they might be. And I'm not so naive that I believe people will do what God says simply because God says, do it. Nor am I convinced that because our United Methodist Church has an official position on immigrants, and because some of us are members of the church, that we necessarily are fully supportive of our church's position. The situation is much too complicated for that. I know that on one side, fear is the platform of some extremists. There are people who will use the issue of immigration and immigrants to practice their own brand of evil and hatred. They will distort the truth in an effort to cause polarization and isolation among people in order to prevent themselves from ever being inconvenienced. I also know that there are people at the other end of the continuum that have very unrealistic expectations about the burdens that an increasing number of undocumented foreign freedom seekers entering our country can have. They've thought about the dream without a realistic view of the outcome. They've considered the economic burden that a growing population of immigrants can have on the human and financial resources of a nation that cannot presently secure employment for its own citizens. They've reimagined the issue that the vast number of people who may depend on the government for assistance can have. And I know that while undocumented persons are viewed as the problem of our southern borders, terrorist intrusion at our northern borders is happening without much fanfare at all. There are laws and lawyers all working to influence the situation of immigrants and immigration rights, with the issues being so complicated that only God can work it out. How odd. How odd then that God would turn to us, those of us who are bound up with Christ, to work out the issues of immigrants and immigration by inviting us to get along with everyone. How strange is it that our God would make incumbent upon us to make our love authentic from the center of who we are as people of God? And if Christ is at the center of who we are, shouldn't Christ be the one guiding our love? How strange is it that our God would invite us to run from evil for dear life, whether it's the evil that creeps in to destroy life or the evil that comes in through our own naivety? Well, the truth is, it isn't strange at all that our God places on us the responsibility to love deeply and humbly, keeping the fire of the Holy Spirit alive in us to serve God. It isn't odd at all expecting God to deliver good to us. It isn't odd that our God would invite us to help one another and be creative in showing hospitality to the strangers among us, to bless our enemies, laughing and crying with our friends as the situation demands. It isn't odd that our God requires that we do our part to discover beauty in every person and to get along with everybody. Perhaps if we put our heart into it, we can even recognize, embrace, and affirm all persons, regardless of their country of origin, as members of the family of God. Perhaps we can affirm the right of all persons to equal opportunities for employment, access to housing and health care, education and freedom from social discrimination, urging the church and society to recognize the gifts, the contributions and struggles of those who are immigrants, and to advocate for justice for all. After all, this nation is pretty much what it is because of immigrants. Can we all just get along? Can we? Perhaps by the grace of God in the hearts and minds and soul and strength of those who are called by Christ's name, at the very least, we can continue the conversation prayerfully, and then and through the love of God, we can get along. Because God has provided a way that we can all get along through the Apostle Paul's message to the Roman community and the social principles of our church. We can hear the call for God to tell us to all just get along. God's word demands that we maintain a certain posture as children of God, called by Jesus Christ to represent God's love in the world. God's word demands that we assume a definite God-like position as it relates to our enemies, our friends, our acquaintances, and our Christ, who is above all and in all and through all. God's word demands that we hold on to the Christian values of doing good and overcoming evil by doing good. It's our God who calls us to live in relationship to all humanity, such that the kingdom of God will come on earth as it is in heaven, and one day we can and will all get along. Because there ain't gonna be no stuff in the kingdom of God in heaven unless you want to be put out. Amen. Amen. And that is the word of God for the people of God today.